Hello and welcome to another episode of
Trash or Treasure,
the podcast where Kim
and Amy
bring you spoiler-free recaps, reviews, and recommendations for whatever we read that week. Amy, what did we read this week?
We read Murder at the Brightwell by Ashley Weaver.
I always love how clearly you enunciate the title that we read. Well, like you've become Siri. No, that's not even fair. Siri speaks more naturally than you speak the titles.
You know, it's Carry in on. Case someone might be listening to it at 2.5 speed.
They will be. I would be.
Well, whatever. This is the first book in what there are actually quite a few of them now.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
Armory Ames series, and I think that's how you say it. Because
I always said Amory.
Because they make a thing of someone's like, oh, Anne-Marie? That's an interesting name. Like when in Harry Potter, Hermione has to phonetically spell her name out for
20,000 times. Yeah.
Yeah. So clearly no one was saying it right. So yeah. Amory.
Subtle JK.
Like, yeah. Great.
Yeah.
So.
Do you want to do the spoiler-free recap?
Well,
You're currently giving me this very eager face.
Oh,
I'm excited.
Adjust your expectations, listeners. So.
When is it set? Start there.
Right. It's set
You feel comfortable in chronology.
In the 1930s in England, and it's set amongst very much the, like, idle, rich upper class.
Yes. Idle as in I-D-L-E, not idol.
Correct. And Amory Ames is sort of estranged from her husband, Milo, and Milo has been swanning around the French Riviera for like a month. And
yes, he's a...
He's essentially like a playboy.
He's a playboy,
He's
yeah.
rich, he's handsome.
He's wealthy and handsome.
She married
And that's why
him.
It matters that they're kind of the upper glitterati, whatever.
Because he can do that.
Not only can he do that, but also he is reported on in gossip columns all the time.
Yeah.
So in an era well and truly before social media, she is, like, his exploits are always
like
kind of communicated back home to her.
So she knows what sort of he's been up to, and she's been making assumptions about what he's been up to. But in the very first chapter, he arrives very suddenly back from the Riviera without any form of communication. Amory is having breakfast, which is not really relevant, but she's got a guest, and her butler's like, hey, there's a guest. And she's like, oh, hi, Milo. Bye. And her guest is Gil Trent, who was her fiancé originally.
Before Milo.
She essentially met Milo, ditched Gil, married Milo, whirlwind romance, and then they sort of distanced because ultimately she's not sure whether he's still or ever loved her. And they don't communicate very well about their actual feelings and trust and things like that.
Like, is not able to be monogamous, and so she feels betrayed and assumes he's off sleeping with everybody and blah, blah,
French
blah.
Riviera.
Yeah.
So Gil asks Amory to pretend to be his lover and go with him and go to a seaside resort for a weekend with a group of friends and acquaintances because his sister has recently got engaged to a guy he thinks is really fishy.
Yeah.
Whose surname I actually can't remember, begins with an H and I think is Hal, but his first name is Rupert. Great name for
the fishy
1930s person. And then what follows is we meet all the different couples and people at this hotel, the Brightwell, in some seaside town in Britain in the 1930s. And then, dun, dun, dun,
there's a murder at
murdered.
The Brightwell.
And Amory is in a position where she is essentially the detective, or she's trying
she
to puzzle
does
it
the,
out.
She sort of, gets obsessed with it and decides to start peeing into it.
And this is, you know, the first novel that sets her up as a lady detective.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and we've reviewed before the Phryne Fisher, Kerry Greenwood novels, which are third person. This is a first person narrative.
Yes.
And that, I think that's, it's a murder mystery, so I can't really
that's kind of it.
Say anything more. But, you know, house, seaside, lots of suspects, different potential motives, secret links to the victim, and this sort of estranged relationship, love triangle situation, plus Gil being introduced into it is the other two tensions and conflicts of the novel. So, Kimberly, what were your thoughts on Murder at the Brightwell?
Look, I didn't dislike it. Like, it was all right. Okay. I think it was all right.
Because there are two things in this. One is the mystery. And yes, the other
That's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
I thought the mystery was okay. It wasn't. It was a pretty, I found it was a pretty stock standard mystery. I enjoyed it well enough. I thought the cast of characters at the Brightwell were.
It's about 10 of them.
Yeah, and which is what you expect.
Yeah.
They were fine, but I didn't feel like they were particularly memorable. Like, I would struggle to kind of now retell you each of their kind of things they had going on. And I think for me, that's the problem with the mystery. I think the mystery is not particularly memorable. So I think this book, more than the mystery part of it, more stock is actually put in the her working out how she feels and what's actually going on with Milo and whether or not she'll get with Gil. Like, it's actually, I always felt like the focus was more on that part of the book.
Yeah, well, because it begins, like, she accepts it because she's like, well, who even is Milo? And Milo says, are you leaving me?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's like the end of page 8.
Yeah, exactly. So it starts very tumultuously. So I was left with the overall kind of impression that the rest of the series was going to be this on-again, off-again situation between her and Milo, who are both very independent characters and therefore are always
they're
going
both
to struggle.
Strong-willed.
Exactly. So they're going to struggle to be in a harmonious, monogamous relationship.
Well, let me tell you something. I've read 5 of them.
Oh, well, you've gone on and done more. I didn't read the first one.
And you're bang on.
Yes. Well, there you go. What a shock. How gratifying to know that my instincts were on point there. So I don't personally enjoy those relationships. That's not to say that for me these books that couple detective stories and romance developments or whatever – I don't mind that pairing, but I need a romantic storyline to move forward. I can't tolerate relationships that are just circles that go round and round and round and round and round that are destructive and really dramatic. Don't get me wrong, all relationships are cyclical. Of course they are. I mean, God, my husband and I have probably had the same argument 1,000 times, but they're not I'm going to leave you arguments. They're why can't you cut my sandwich in half when you make my lunch arguments.
Wow.
It's like, oh my goodness, why can't he cut the sandwich in half?
I just want to stop you at making your lunch.
I know. That's what everybody says whenever I complain about how he makes my lunch.
And refocusing.
Sorry. But my point is I can't. While I can handle those kind of day-to-day, like, yes, obviously, you're going to have niggles that repeat in a relationship.
And I'm not saying
that everything has to be, like, deeply woke. So it's like, I understand where you're coming from and I understand where you're coming. And everyone has to have these super enlightened, unrealistic relationships. But I can't stand on again, off again. It just annoys me.
Well,
either poop
things,
or get off the pot. Like,
one
that's
of the
where
things
we're at.
That you've said in the past is that, you know, relationships don't stop at the get together.
No, they're still interesting after that. So I'm happy for her and Milo to get together and then decide at the end.
Get together
as in reconcile.
Yeah.
And that it would be an interesting twist that instead of, or an interesting take on the same kind of genre and tropes, that instead of having a lady detective who meets men and falls in love or whatever, you could have a husband and wife who had been estranged. So the first novel or even the first two novels could have been about them reconciling and then they're a little detective team.
Yes.
But because obviously they still wanted that fierceness of her being independent and stands alone and rah-de-rah, and there's this kind of old-fashioned notion that you have to have you have to be separate from your partner for that to work. So I don't know. I didn't want the on again, off again. I think it's narrow-minded and short-sighted to think that the only drama in a marriage, if it's going to be a part of your story, the only drama has to be, are we going to be together? No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it just doesn't seem very imaginative.
Well, there's a point where as a reader, you're like fatigued.
Absolutely. And I would say that's true in my real life. Do you know what I mean? Like, everyone has that friend who's like, oh my God, James and I are together again. You're like, oh, I cannot.
We've had this conversation.
I actually can't get back together with James again right now. So if you want to do this, I will remain your friend if you tell me nothing about James ever again. That's where we're at. So, yes, that was my take. And because the mystery was fine, but I'd rather read a Franny Fisher mystery. Like, yeah. Those mysteries were better and more interesting and more engaging. I wouldn't say I recommend this one. The thing that I did enjoy is the 1930s setting.
Yes.
That was and that's- fun.
Can I segue to
yes,
me now?
Yes, totally
that's
segue
I,
to you.
That's my that first
was, I feel like that'll be your biggest one,
yes,
and your
it
biggest
was.
Thing. But I actually did, I agree with you, that was one of my, that was part of the book, was the setting and the era.
Because
that was really nicely realised.
I had been in a big, deep, just Franny binge, and I was like, well, what else is out there?
When is she set?
1920s, late
20s.
Right,
okay, cool.
So this is maybe 5 or 6 years later.
Yeah, like, but also when you pajamas. Go, but when you go like England, 1930s and Australia,
yeah.
It's different because Australia was so far behind.
Pretty much aren't. Franny is the
only
the Australian one.
Yes,
so
yeah,
you have to then go to England or America. And I came across these and was like, okay, well, I'll give that a go. And I really enjoyed the like 1930s Agatha Christie-esque sort of, these are the set amount of characters. We're in this
set location.
This setting.
Yep.
They're always the idle rich.
Yeah.
Socialite type characters. I really enjoyed that setting. And
everyone else is too busy.
The murder happened really quick.
Yep.
Which was great. Like 7 chapters in, boom, dead. Let's get on with working out why and who. Then the husband turns up.
Yeah, that was the bit that annoyed
which
me.
Which was just like, creepy. And he's like, oh, you know, obviously everyone's finding things out from the social papers, the society
the
papers.
The society columns.
That's what they're called.
Yeah.
But it felt like he was sort of tracking her and then he would disappear and she would be like, well, I don't know where Milo is, but he always seemed to be tracking her movements, which I found unnerving.
Yeah.
So
he only turned up because he was worried that she was going to get back with Gil.
Well, yeah, that's
which
what you
says,
think in it.
Which says what?
Yeah. So my fundamental challenge with this is they, as
you think
the
they'd
two
be better
characters,
off alone? Like, you actually well, would be better off. You would both be better if you went your separate ways.
I thought that Amory wasn't irritating to spend time with, but I actually wanted the story where she went, no, Milo, this is not working. I'm going to go and just be myself.
Yes.
And I think that would have been a really interesting character to follow, particularly set in that time.
Yes, and he wouldn't have to disappear. He wouldn't have, like, I think
no,
he would
he
be
could
persistent.
Stay in it.
He would probably be quite persistent, and she'd be like, it's fine, we can be friends. I get that you need.
But fundamentally, I don't trust you.
Absolutely.
Which
and
is
I'm done.
The
is
narrative
yes.
of every single interaction she has with him in this book and in some of the, like, they reconcile, but there's this continuing bubble of I don't trust you.
Yeah.
And I found that hard to accept them as a team and want to be on Milo's side. So they just had this continued, like, I had this mistrust and they were so
but
like,
you also it's
like
you can't engage that deeply
no.
in that relationship, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're being asked to buy into that relationship, but you're like
I was like out very quickly
yeah,
on that relationship
too.
And the mystery wasn't enough for it to outweigh, I think, the
I agree. I think I kind of wish the relationship wasn't such a big focus so that more energy could have been put into making the mystery more
absolutely. So I would, like, it was, it's a book I'm beige on. I liked the setting, but, you know, you can get the setting in an Agatha Christie short story ultimately.
And I think when I want that setting, I find myself now going to the library website or going onto the Kobo store or something or whatever and looking up books that are set or going onto Goodreads.
But that's what I did and came across
this. I understand that. But now when I want that fix, I don't just go, oh, we found it. It's Murder at the Brightwell. I'll just go back and reread that.
No,
I
look
for
new
something
things.
Else.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't know. I can't really recommend it. And I stopped. Like, I read a couple more to go, oh, does it get Like, do they just move on through that relationship?
Yeah, is it just give it benefit of the doubt and actually it just settles in?
No, well, there are some books where they're like, yay, things are going well, and then there'll be a backtrack. And I just found that sort of annoying, so I wouldn't recommend the series either. They are relatively, like, language-wise well-written and reasonably well-plotted.
They seem free of most common grammatical errors, and spelling.
They were well-punctuated. But, yes, it's a trash from me. And trash it's a trash from you.
It is. So that's where we stand.
Aligned.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you once again for spending some of your time with us. Join us again next week. We will bring you more spoiler-free recaps, reviews, and recommendations or not. Maybe we'll recommend a swerve. And until then, as ever,
happy reading!
And just a quick reminder here at the end of the podcast that we would love to hear from you. We want your recommendations, the good, the bad, the interesting, doesn't matter. Please reach out, send us an email at trashortreasurepodcast@outlook.com. Or we are also available at the world's most awkward Twitter handle, which Amy has to tell you about. Listen to our Twitter handle. It's the greatest.
It's @_treasure.
Doesn't that just roll off the tongue?
And with those encouraging words, tweet or email us.
We love to hear from you. Happy reading.
Cheers.